requires a full year before we could find a provider who was ready to test with us. We had the same problem with ICD. We are having the same problem with ICD-10. So we're skeptical. We're kind of ready to go whenever there's somebody out there ready to go with us relative to the transmission of the eligibility information and enrollment information that will be required in the exchange. And we always had this view that if New York couldn't do it, then no one could. But I didn't know they got $361 million. So why didn't we get 911? So as soon as the state's ready to go, we're ready to go. Susan mentioned the freelancers. Well, we used to run the freelancers exchange for them. And when the federal money became available, their eyes got really big. And they said, heck, we can be an insurance company. That's easy stuff. We can do it. Just like all the hospitals now are going to turn their ACOs into insurance companies. I'll believe all this when we see it. It is a complicated business, and a lot of people have tried, and not many have succeeded over the years. So, again, we'll see. Current situation, we are now going to micro-marketing. We have basically identified specific neighborhoods. So we haven't given up on this individual market and to the products that we are eking out a profit on in the small group are being retained and will be available. We are moving very aggressively to essentially open what are referred to as neighborhood care centers. These are more than a health center, including social services, disease-related services, disease management services. Just a place for people to come in and have a cup of coffee if they so desire. Obviously heavily branded, we're not doing this for charitable reasons. The first one opened on 125th Street in Harlem, actually two doors down from President Clinton's office. We keep trying to invite him to come, but so far no luck. We opened another one in Queens, we're getting ready to open a third one in Chinatown. And again, this is an effort to identify Emblem Health with specific New York neighborhoods. We do have the virtue of being a company that is highly concentrated in 10 counties of downstate New York, although we do cover all of New York State and also Connecticut through our Connecticut subsidiary. But this is kind of our New York strategy. And that is the end of my presentation, and I too am available for questions. Thank you.
Well, thanks to all of you. So on the theory that all human beings remember only three things from any presentation, would say we've learned three things from you. One is, as John put it, nobody involved in setting up an exchange is getting any sex or sleep at the moment. Number two, as Sandy said, you can be in a state that's doing nothing and still be really busy. And number three, you can be in a state where there's a declining gene pool in the gubernatorial family from one to another. So three very important takeaway points. All seriousness aside, let me say, I was struck by something, a theme that extended through all three of your presentations, which is, yeah, you do have some degree of concern about the standing up of exchanges. And you just mentioned that, David, are you going to receive or send information around eligibility between you and other plans or state Medicaid program or what have you. But for the most part, your concerns were really more around the insurance reforms and the impact of those on rates. And Sandy talked about adverse selection concerns. Will the young and healthy sign up, particularly when they're faced with higher rates due to the age rating compression? John, you talked about the concern about the blue hair salon versus the red hair firm. Again, that's a rating reform issue. And David, you talked about the MLR and small group and small group rates and the lack of profitability in the small group market. And again, that's really more an insurance reform issue. So that's an interesting question. these things really do produce some unpleasant results for people that really have more to do with insurance market reforms than anything else. Will people blame that on the exchanges? And say this is all the problem of the exchanges? Will they say, no, it's really about insurance market reforms and maybe this will settle out because we have risk adjustment and other things, the three R's that you mentioned, Sandy? Or does it matter? Because it will just be, there will just be enough bad news for enough people that, as you said, those will be the loudmouths, John, and that's what will cause the blowback after open enrollment season 2013-2014. So start with that, and then we'll open it up to questions from all of you.
Well, I am concerned about the political fallout. I think there's still a desire in many of our conservative states to somehow gain control of the Senate and repeal, in spite of the fact that it still would require the president to sign off, and I don't think he's gonna veto anything that passes. But there is still this notion out there that potentially that could happen. You know, the politics today just is, to me, it's just astounding. For example, the health. Part of the health exchange has this data hub, as was mentioned, and the data hub has information from the IRS. Well, the IRS has been in the news lately, and I even heard commentators say, these are the people that are doing these horrible things, supposedly, that are going to be dealing with your information that is going to determine how much you're eligible to receive on the exchange. So it's just that's just one example of the kind of rhetoric I think we've got to be ready for, and it's going to come fast and furious at it. Every time there's a little hiccup, glitch, whatever, in implementation, I think it's going to get blown out of proportion.
John? You know, I think the state of public ignorance about the Affordable Care Act is such that they're not going to distinguish and the rest. Where the exchange may come in particular is there is an illusion, a myth, that despite the fact the law says the prices have to be the same on the exchange as off, nobody can imagine why there would be an exchange other than that we would spend all this time and energy on it unless it was offering better prices. So when small business sees their rates going, you know, up and down, whatever, illogically, they're going to go to the exchange to compare prices, and they just say, well, these aren't any better. I think that's probably where it will come in. Most of the business will be non-group, they'll be subsidized, and they don't really have a before and after to compare with, so I think that's going to be less of an issue.
Well, I think, first of all, it's always important to remember that 150 million people are in group health insurance, and they're going to see these deadlines go by and read about them and go, well, what happened exactly? Because nothing really, except for the imposition of the gross receipts premium tax, which will probably add, you know, somewhere, rough numbers, 3% of premium. And their employer will absorb that. I mean, remember the magic of our great health insurance system is that we extract money from the pockets of employees and give it to doctors and hospitals, and the employees think it's the boss's money. So it's sort of like this weird, you know, construct where it has little impact. That's why they consume so much health care. But the small group market clearly is a flashing red kind of situation because I said hug an actuary. The actuaries I talk to and whom I have a lot of faith after some years of watching their product believe that the risk in the small group market will deteriorate for a variety of reasons. And I know all this is an arguable proposition. I just have to go on the people that I trust. So I just think, you know, the small group market is a flashing red. John mentioned it. You know, we're all sort of worried about what's going to happen there. And I will say that the health insurance industry believes that no one will give a hoot about exchanges or anything else, but they will simply get blamed. And that may be a paranoid perspective, but that's what they believe, and I guarantee you they're gearing up to to try to make sure that they reflect the blame elsewhere.
So if all the people in small group markets end up buying exchanges as individuals on the individual market, does it matter?
Well, only to the people who are left in the small group market if they tend to be bad risks. And maybe, yeah, that just means over time that the small group market, you know, goes actuarially down and everyone moves in the individual market, and that might be a good thing, you know, at the end of the day. But the change is could be a wrenching and difficult one for the people involved.
All right, we've got a lot of questions, so let's start here in the front. Peter, we'll work our way around to the side.
Peter Gosselin from Bloomberg Government. We've heard that in a pretty dark picture, all in all. And so I just wanted to pick out a few of the pieces of that picture to see if it's really quite as dark as
me, dark.
Because I believe David. So on a small group market, the story you told about New York State, I do think it did say it at the top of the slide, but just so we're clear about this, the particular problem you were talking about in New York is not a product of the Affordable Care Act. It's a product of the peculiarities of New York and regulation. Isn't that true?
Well, there are two issues. And maybe I wasn't clear enough. If prior approval does not take into account the change in risk, which PPACA does contribute to. Prior approval in New York predated PPACA, and has nothing to do with it. So it's the intersection of the two that basically makes carriers think, this is an unprofitable market. I've got much better things to spend my time on, like Medicare, Medicaid, the large group market. So that's what I'm going to do. That's, I think, the nuance.
That's one. Second is, the most recent ugly we've been told is on the way are the sticker shock premiums that are going to be the insurers are going to want to charge. I wonder from what we know right now whether that ugly is coming true or not. And I just offered this data point. California announced this afternoon it's who's getting business, the business there, WellPoint, Molina, HealthNet, and 13 others. I don't know what this is measured from, but Peter Lee is quoted as saying small group rates will go down 28%, 29%. We know from several other states we have some rate information. Is that ugly coming through or not?
Sandy, you and I were talking about the Kansas rates last night. Why don't you say what's going on in Kansas?
Right. Federal exchange states won't be releasing rates until the exchanges open in October, but we are not seeing dramatic increases in either the individual or small group market. And I think, you have to look at the rate in the total picture. These are, in many cases, for some of these individuals, they're going to be buying more comprehensive coverage. And now they can still buy the catastrophic, so if we looked at the rates for young, healthy folks up to age 30, those rates really were pretty reasonable. Then in addition, you're going to have people, younger folks, eligible for some fairly significant subsidies, and we haven't yet factored in what that's going to be, because we don't know what that will be until the data hub starts cranking out those subsidy numbers. So, but just on balance, we're not seeing.
It's not as ugly as we
know.
Well, and as some of the states have already announced, the rates for middle-aged women buying coverage on individual exchanges fall because of the elimination of gender rates.
And close to 65 for the older men, too, that are not Medicare eligible.
So the issue is not an overall increase in rates uniformly, so much as it is a movement around of rates, and you notice that's the example that I was using. It's very hard to do a pre and post on most of the new business because it would be non-group people who were never insured before. In fact, there'll be a whole bunch of people who are denied insurance if they didn't get it. So if you talk to the actuaries, actually, they will say there is no such thing as trend from 2013 to 2014 in non-group market. It's a completely different market. But a small employer A votes and B, even Democrats, both Republicans, but even Democrats in blue states,